Let us pray. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Old Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Jonah. I'll be reading chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. You can find this on page 845 of the Church Bibles. Hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I think if I had printed the bulletin this morning, I would have had a sermon title, "Who Knows?" I think Jonah is one of my favorite books of the Bible, and that may be true for many of you as well. I like it because it is a funny, ironic story with many surprises and hilarious turns. And I like it also because I think it has many parallels with the Christian life that we experience and the struggles we often face in our walk with the Lord. Our reading this morning in chapter 3 starts with the word of the Lord coming to Jonah a second time. Of course, we can't really read the story without knowing what happened the first time. The first time happens at the very beginning of the book. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, 'Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" Just to set the stage, at that time, Nineveh was a major city in the Assyrian Empire and was known to be a relentless, vicious military power. The prophet Nahum calls it the bloody city. There are stone reliefs recovered from archaeological digs that detail the wanton cruelty of its soldiers and citizens. And I remember hearing one scholar talk about how the walls of the city were topped with the skulls of opponents who had been defeated in battle. There was a reason the Lord told Jonah, "Their wickedness has come up before me." To try to put it in today's terms, perhaps it would be similar to a call from the Lord to go to Mosul, a city in northern Iraq now reported to be in the hands of ISIS. In fact, the geographic location of Nineveh is right across the Tigris River from modern-day Mosul. But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. Now, if I might use American cities and their proximity to us here in Michigan to help illustrate what Jonah has done, it might read this way. Go at once to Miami, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah set out to flee to Seattle from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Grand Rapids and found a plane going to Seattle. Miami, Seattle, Nineveh, Tarshish. Now, we might not literally get on a boat or a plane to try to flee the presence of the Lord. But do we not have our own ways of fleeing? We might try to anesthetize ourselves with something that we think might protect us from the Lord's presence. Maybe a substance of some kind, drugs or alcohol, or maybe through unhealthy and immoral relationships. Or maybe we flee to something less inherently problematic, seeking refuge from the Lord in our careers, or our educational efforts, or even our families. Do you remember what happened to Jonah when he did this? While Jonah is on the ship in the Mediterranean trying to flee from the presence of the Lord, a storm comes up that threatens to sink the ship. The pagan sailors that are on the ship with him know nothing of Jonah's disobedience to his call. They do not even know the Lord who has called him, but they do sense that something has caused these very rough seas, and they are in an existential panic, wondering how they might save their skins. They do not know, but Jonah knows. He tells them about the Lord, that he is fleeing from his presence, and flat out tells them that they ought to just go ahead and toss him into the sea. There are so many things to comment on here, but we have to press on. Jonah gets tossed into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. The sailors survive, and we're told that the Lord provided a large fish to swallow Jonah for 3 days and three nights. There is a reason that we in the Christian tradition read Jonah in a different way than those of the Jewish faith. Living as we do on the other side of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we cannot help but read prophets like Jonah back through the lens of the Gospels. Jesus himself talks of being the sign of Jonah. It was only last fall, preaching through Matthew, that we found in Matthew 12, Jesus saying, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so for 3 days and three nights the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth." In the Gospels, we see how Jesus came to calm the biggest raging storms, the storms that rise when we seek to flee the presence of the Lord, the storms caused by sin and death, the storms that seek to separate us from the peace of God. In the Gospels, we see Jesus by praying not what I want, but what you want, by praying not my will, but thy will be done, by submitting to the crucifixion and taking our sin to the cross with him, we see Jesus saying essentially the same thing that Jonah says to the sailors on that ship to Tarshish. Pick me up and throw me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you. That's what he means by the sign of Jonah. We cannot help but see the reality of Jesus prefigured in the story of Jonah. But of course, as we have already spoken, it's easy to see ourselves in Jonah too. Maybe the image of being in the belly of a fish for 3 days is similar to what some have called the dark night of the soul. a crucible through which we are made to face the reality of our finiteness in the face of an almighty God. For Jonah, this drives him to a prayer of repentance and thanksgiving to the Lord. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. The description of this deliverance is abrupt. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. Repentance and deliverance through Christ come together in our own baptism. We experience a rebirth not unlike Jonah's when we are united with Christ in his death and resurrection through our baptism, our own dying and rising that brings to us a new life altogether. It is at this point that we finally get to chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. That word was the same as the first time. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim the message that I tell you. This is a very persistent God. It was the same word, but it was to an entirely different person. This time it was to someone reborn from the dead. This time Jonah obeys, though we're still not certain how thrilled he is to be on this project. He starts into the city, and we're told he proclaims 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. It's not much of a sermon, frankly, but it has the advantage of being short. Jonah might have been less than thrilled about it, but it gets the Ninevites' attention. This word spreads throughout the city. It goes viral. Soon, it's not even Jonah spreading the word, but everyone knows. And they repent. Even the king gets involved. He issues a decree. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. Who knows? There are a few ways to look at this, I think. Is this a proclamation of judgment or of salvation? 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Remember that this is a funny story at its heart, from start to finish. Swallowed by a fish, we are supposed to be laughing. I think God knows exactly what he is doing with Jonah. And I think that the joke is on Jonah. 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Can you see the ambiguity? 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. It is overthrown, all right, but less by the judgment of God and more by the gracious movement of God to draw them into repentance and to the new life that repentance brings. By the end of the 40 days, the entire city has turned, even the animals. I'm not so sure that it is God changing his mind, as it is yet another example of the word of the Lord not returning empty, but accomplishing that which God purposes, succeeding in the thing for which the Lord sent it. There's also something about the 40-day time frame, I think. The Bible is filled with incidents where a season of 40 days or sometimes years brings deep change. 40 days and nights of rain cleanses the earth with Noah and his family in the ark. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness prepares the Israelites for the promised land and shapes them into a people. 40 days in the wilderness finds Jesus tempted by the devil before the beginning of his ministry. Here, 40 days and Jonah's proclamation of the Lord transforms, or shall we say, overthrows Nineveh. 40 days and God demonstrates the faithfulness and power of his word yet again. There is something to this question on the lips of the king. Who knows? What might we, good people of Parkwood, see the Lord accomplish in 40 days through his word if we resist fleeing the presence of the Lord? Who knows? Apart from trying to show you Christ in the story of Jonah, it is hard to know what other parallels to draw to our own time. Are we at times reluctant prophets and proclaimers trying our hardest to flee from the presence of the Lord? Sure. Will that stop him? It doesn't in Jonah's case. Are we sometimes half-hearted, trying, hoping to proclaim judgment, in fact, like Jonah, instead of the grace that God intends? Who knows? Maybe we find the beginning of an answer a few verses beyond where the lectionary reading stopped today. In chapter 4, we're treated to Jonah's response to this miracle of the repentance of Nineveh. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." Who knows? Jonah knew. Do we know? You are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Could it be that we sometimes play the role of Jonah even more than we care to admit? Not only being ready to flee the presence of the Lord, but also later being reluctant witnesses to the gracious power of the word of the Lord. The Lord's word does what he has purposed, and we are promised that it won't return empty. We as a congregation stand on the edge of a time of difficulty. But let us take comfort in, let us even revel in the sovereignty and faithfulness of a God who saves a half-hearted, reluctant prophet in order to use him for his gracious purposes to save others. This is a story about the power and faithfulness of the Lord and his word. What might the same Lord do with us? Who knows? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.